Welcome to Sister Share, where six sisters living around the world come together each week to talk about motherhood, health, cooking, parenting, and so much more. Thanks for joining us today.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to our Sister Share this week. We are so excited to have you back for our podcast. And as we mentioned earlier, we are six sisters that live around the world, and we have 52 children between us with lots of different ages of experience. So the purpose of this podcast is for us to just talk and share as if we were on a conversation or a call with each other, discussing things that are important to us as moms and wives, and then allow you to listen in and take what you want from this conversation. Glean the things that will work for you, and don't worry about the things that don't work for you. Every Sister Share, we do want to make sure we are talking about principles and practices. So as Larae mentioned in our podcast last week, a principle is something that is true for everybody. And a practice is the way that we choose to implement those principles in our individual lives and in our individual homes. So as you listen today, we invite you to fully embrace the principles we talk about, and then decide which practices work best for you. And our topic today, I'm so excited, is the holidays, because this is the season when we have so many opportunities to come together as families and share and celebrate, and we have a lot of different ways that we can do that, a lot of different traditions. So our topic today is the holidays and how we can make the holidays magical without actually using money or things like that. So let's get started. How can we make the holidays magic without focusing so much on materialism or money? Who wants to give their first idea?
One thing, Nettie, that I really love about these Sister Shares is that we are at such different ages. So the principles stay the same, but the practices, even within our families, may evolve as our children have different needs and get to different ages and stages. And so some of us are older, some of us have younger families, and that's part of the fun of the share.
Yeah, very true. I was actually thinking about that this week as we're getting ready for Christmas, because we have 10 children, and there were years when it was all just young children that we were celebrating Christmas with. And now we have 5 teenagers, and 5 of our children are out of the home, and we're really focused more, I don't want to say more, but in a different way, on the purpose of Christmas and reaching out to others and really making that such a focus, as well as keeping the beautiful magic of it. So yes, different ages and stages.
I also think we have a really good background that we come from that help us to know how to do this without money. We grew up without hardly anything. And because of that, we experienced a lot of traditions that were based not on money, but on a little bit of time, a little bit of energy and effort that provided magic for us. And then we took that into our own families and have learned to adapt to different families that we have now based off of who we married. That is a little bit different than what we grew up on, but we still have so much rich experience from our past that we can draw upon.
That's one thing I've been thinking a lot about, is that magic has nothing to do with money. You can always make magic in your home for the holidays, no matter how much income you have. And we learned that so well, like Mamie said, with our parents who raised 11 children and just made everything so magical. One of the ways I think that our childhood was magical is that our Christmas gifts to each other as siblings were homemade. And I think for some reason there's something that really brings the spirit of Christmas when you try to make something for somebody, no matter what age that child is or you are. Something about that extra effort to make it really endears the gift to the giver and to the receiver. So I think one key for holiday magic is make some of your gifts, for sure. Spend that extra time.
Can I say this is the first year we're trying that? We have really little kids, and so every year I've
thought of trying that, but then I just am like, I'm going to end up making everyone's gift for everyone. And I don't have the time for that. So this is the first year I've actually, we drew names. And because I've always thought it would add magic, and I think my kids are now old enough that it's working. So we drew names, and everyone is so excited about thinking about that person. And I think we have at least 5 gifts under the tree for each person, because they can't decide which construction paper thing to actually give them. But it's so fun to see that they're focused on somebody else instead of just, I haven't heard a Christmas wish list for themselves this whole season, but I've heard a lot of ideas about what that person would like as kids are whispering it to me. Oh, I think she would like this, or maybe I should make this. You know, they're watching what that person would enjoy and thinking about how they can make that person's Christmas wishes come true. And it's really fun. I'm so excited that my kids are now the age
Heidi,
that they can take it over and own it, and it won't be me, and it is adding magic.
And remind us your ages of kids, Heidi.
My oldest Mia is 10, and then there are 7 kids between 10 and 3 months old.
I love that, Heidi, because I remember some years were really hard, and I did feel like I was in charge of everything, and I did it because I believed so strongly in the benefits of it. And now that my kids are older and they are more independently thinking about what other people want and how to make it, I have so appreciated that I stuck it out in the younger years. Another thing that I have learned that I didn't realize we learned this growing up because of homemade gifts, I feel like, is to appreciate the effort put into the gift and rather than the result of the gift. Because our gifts were homemade when we were little, we learned to appreciate, even if the 2-year-old drew our name, to appreciate that, what they had to offer. And I feel like that was a principle that I didn't realize I was being taught as a young child.
Gratitude.
Even though I knew that making gifts was important.
That is such a great point, Larae. Gratitude and recognizing the giver and what they did. I love that.
So we just had an incident in our home. We drew names this year too. And little Lucy, who's our youngest and is 5 years old, drew her big brother's name, Hiram, who just returned from his mission. Let's see, that makes him 20 years old. And she worked really hard on this cute little Christmas tree that's made out of lined paper. And it has little cardboard dots that she colored red and green and glued all over it. It's about 4 inches tall by 3 inches wide, and she's carried it all around the house. Can't wait to wrap it up for him. And I've been thinking for a couple of weeks, how can I've even been suggesting to her, what else can we make for Hiram? What can you think of to make for Hiram? And it occurred to me just yesterday, I don't need to make anything else for Hiram. I don't need to push her to make anything else. That's her creation. That's what she wanted. That's all he really needs. He just needs... He'll appreciate it because she made it. So I think sometimes as parents, we can feel an urgency or a sense of, oh, I need to make this better. I need to make this cost more or be more of more value, when in reality, we don't. We don't need to do that. We can just let it be how it is, and it's going to be magical the way it is.
I feel like people are going to be asking for ideas of homemade gifts, because I personally, every time we get to December, I think, okay, I need to pull out like my trusty ideas I can suggest to the kids. You could do this, you could do that. What are some good gifts that you can make? Mamie, you just mentioned a tree out of paper. I think that's a lovely gift. We did a lot.
Some of the other things that we've done are a pillowcase, just getting a plain pillowcase and then let the child draw the picture that they want on the pillowcase for their sibling. That's something that doesn't require a lot of ability. They can just put in their own artistic efforts. We've done a lot of different crocheted items, hats or scarves. Those are simple and can always be used and are fun.
And as far as putting things on the pillowcases too, you can do that on a handkerchief, you know, draw a child's hand on a handkerchief or something like that, personalize things like that. are good. Our 9-year-old drew his older brother's name and decided he wanted to just make little pillows. So he got the fabric box out and chose 2 Christmas fabrics, and he was able to stitch it together and stuff it and sew a cute little applique on the front. So another fun
idea. I remember the go-to when we were little. Again, I'm just starting this year, so I don't have many ideas. But when we were little, I remember we liked making baking kits. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
We'd like get all the dry ingredients together and have the little Ziploc bags with the dry ingredients, and then put the instructions for just add water or eggs or oil or whatever it was for biscuits or cake mixes or brownie mixes or something like that. We did a lot of homemade baking kits, if I remember right.
And sometimes it's even just a trip to the craft store with your children, and they can say, oh, I could paint that birdhouse for someone, or I could. There's so many cute kits out there to make for a person they love.
So pillowcases and baking kits seem to be a good theme. We've done a lot of those. Just this year, my 9-year-old drew my older daughter's name, and my older daughter speaks Chinese, and so the younger one just was determined that she wanted to write "Families Can Be Together Forever" in Chinese on this pillowcase. And she spent probably a couple of hours. She had me pull up Google Translate, and she copied it off my phone onto paper. And then she very meticulously drew it on the pillowcase and then painted it out. So
wow.
I don't really know if the finished product matches the original, but she worked really hard on it and is so excited to give that to her sister. And then we have a daughter, baking kits, who's on a mission in Brazil right now. And just today we got a letter from her with a small stack of recipes that she has written out. And she has asked me to do the shopping, and she has sent money for a little apron for our son. She wants us to give him a baking kit with these recipes that she has done. That's her way of reaching across from her mission.
I love it.
Can I ask a question of you seasoned mothers? How do you fit making homemade gifts with all your kids into the holiday season? Do you keep them up late at night when the others have gone to bed so you have time to spend with them? Do you have like days that you just say, okay, everyone's just going to make all your gifts and I'll be available?
I've done a little bit of both, of everything, depending on the year, depending on what time I have available. We've kept them up late at night, just one at a time, or we've done it just a night all together where everyone's in a different room working. Another option that I have done in the past that may be controversial, but I'll just keep a child home from school a day. Sometimes if the holidays are just so busy, I don't know when else to do it. Just having a miss one day of school, and then they have time where their person isn't at home. We can work on it together and get it wrapped and under the tree. That's also worked for us.
I do remember when we had all 10 children at home, and it feels like every homemade gift needed some support from me. I just wrote one name on the calendar every day, and I thought, okay, today amidst all the meals and laundry, I'm just going to make sure that I take some time and push forward what I need to help that child with that gift and try and go to bed with that done and wrapped under the tree. So sometimes I just had to plan it out. Good question, Heidi. It can be overwhelming.
It is a good question, and we're all overwhelmed mothers. I also appreciated as my kids got older that they had the skills to help out siblings, and I utilized that a lot, that they could help sew or paint or teach them how to embroider something, so that it saved me time.
Let's take one more comment on the gift thing and then move on to other areas of magic. I do want to mention that our mom constantly told us that one of the benefits of making a gift for your sibling is that on Christmas morning, when it's time to open the gifts and we go around and choose who's opening the next gift, that the children would always choose the gift they made. When it was time to choose a gift to open, they would walk over and say, oh, I want to open the gift I made for so-and-so, because they'd spent so much time on it and put so much heart into it, instead of saying, I'm going to choose a gift under the tree for myself. So I think that's a fun benefit.
And then could that be a segue into something else? Is that I think one of the magical things of Christmas is taking turns opening presents. I love the principle of being empathetic, watching what other people get, and learning patience for your own thing.
Yes.
That was magical to me as a child.
A little bit of delayed gratification on the day when there's so much gratification.
I think so, too. We really enjoy taking time to go around and watch everyone open gifts. We usually start at the youngest and go up because their patience doesn't last quite as long. But they also learn to appreciate watching their older siblings unwrap. And it also, I don't know how to quite say this, but I love that it draws it out. Instead of having everything opened within 10 minutes, it takes us usually a couple of hours in the morning after we've opened stockings to go around and watch what everyone got from the North Pole. And then later on in the afternoon, after we've played with toys, then we regather around the tree and take another couple of hours to watch people open their homemade gifts and to appreciate them. And I also remember as a child taking time to not just open it and see what it was, but put it together or try it out or practice it. And everybody in the family was concentrated on that gift, which was really fun.
Really enjoy the day.
Grew up with a lot of children and not a lot, but I also remember, and I've told my children this also, it's such a benefit to be in a large family because instead of getting one or two gifts on Christmas, you get, it's like you're getting 10 or 20 because you get to enjoy, you get to play the games that other people got or help them with their pottery wheel or whatever it is. And it's so much fun. And so I think that expands the magic. The more, the merrier.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. I want to insert a comment here that I often think about at Christmas time. And that was by Stephen Covey. And he said, sometimes the anticipation of an event is as fulfilling as the event itself. And I think that really relates to the holidays because we're celebrating Christmas Day, but really it's the whole anticipation and the whole season leading up. And I think our parents were masters at the magic of that. It's hard to pinpoint what it was that they did, except that they were real in what they did. We enjoyed the lights. We enjoyed the music. We enjoyed the baking. We enjoyed the moments and the anticipation of Christmas and all the magic in between was just as wonderful as the event itself. So how else did they make it magical for us? And how else can we as parents really make the holidays magical?
One thing that I remember and that we do in our family is to take things that are already on the calendar and make them special. For example, everybody puts up a tree and everybody decorates a tree, but we always had a tree decorating party. So we'd put up the tree and the lights on it, but then there was a special evening set aside that we would decorate our tree and Mama would put on Christmas music and she would hand out the ornaments one at a time and explain where they came from or take some time to appreciate the history behind the ornaments. And we always put out goodies in the kitchen, whatever we had, but it was a little bit extra, like some chocolates and apples and oranges. But it was all set up nice and pretty and just made it fun. So it was something that was already on the calendar, but it was extra fun.
Mamie, last week you made a comment about the extra 3%. And I never heard that, even though we grew up in the same family. But I've been thinking about it. That's really it. Everyone has Christmas Eve. Do the extra 3% and set the candles on the table and make the beautiful dinner and take time to remember the names of the Savior. That extra 3%, like you said, decorating the tree, things that you're already doing, make it extra special.
An extra 3% I remember from Christmas Eve dinner, because we always had our nice dinner on Christmas Eve. And we do the same in our family. But I remember having... one year having the special bottles of pop on the table. Everyone had their own special bottle of pop. Just little things like that that are out of the ordinary. Doesn't take a lot of extra time or effort, but it makes it so magical for children. Something they don't usually have.
I feel like those all feed into this ambience that is what I remember about Christmas, is the tree lights at night singing around the Christmas tree. Or the candles on the table for Christmas Eve dinner and the fancy dishes, but lowered lights and the soft Christmas music. I don't remember. We listen to popular Christmas music sometimes, but mostly I remember Christmas music softly in the background. And that's, even when I hear that, it just brings back all those memories. So I feel like the ambience adds magic. You can turn down the music, turn down the lights.
Nan, you said something about the moments. And I think Mama just had made moments where we'd all just sit in the living room with the lights off and look at the Christmas tree. And I think that's not common in the hurry scurry of Christmas season, but she often did that and just stopped. We all stopped and just enjoyed it and just appreciated and had our own thoughts. We're left to our own thoughts and the peace and the spirit of Christmas. And I also think, decorations are important. Sometimes it's a lot to dig out and put away. But when I think about Christmas, I can think of certain decorations that Mama always had, that she always pulled out that big Santa from Grandma Bisson and set it in the entryway on the bench. And the Advent calendar that she'd pull out with the little things that she'd unwrap and put there. So I think we tie a lot to decorations and traditions and things that that we remember that make it a special time.
And I think also when children see adults value something, then they start to value that too. So I think it could be easy in the world today to be cynical, and as adults become adults or as children grow up, like I have a house full of teenagers right now. But we can maintain that childlike innocence and joy when we remember as adults to value these things. And when children can tell that their parents value Christmas, then they're going to also value Christmas. If you value something enough, like a decoration, to set it out every year, or value an evening enough to make a nice dinner, or to put a nice dress on for Christmas Eve, then that's going to be magical. One interesting thing as our kids grow up is now we just have one little believer in the house, and I've wondered kind of how it's going to play out. But I've noticed that the older siblings have taken over in supporting their little brother and making the Christmas season magical for him with a treat or a surprise or a note or a comment or a story or a song. And I love that even though they've grown up and maybe are a little bit wiser about some of our Christmas traditions, they're still passing that on to their sibling, and they understand that that's a magical role they have now.
I would also like to add, and I also think it's been said in other ways, but just want to point out that the attitude of the mother goes a long way, because you can pull out a tree and put on decorations and it's not anything extra special. But when the mother gets excited to put on the Christmas music or get out the tree or takes time to explain where the stuffed Santa came from, that it came from Grandma, I just know that all the things that her attitude went such a long way. And it's helpful to remember as a mother, sometimes kids don't have the best attitudes. And so, and that's okay, because as the mother's the heart of the home. If as mothers, we can have good attitudes despite anybody else's attitude in the home, be excited about whatever it is that we're involved in and doing, getting the gifts ready or putting the tree up or putting the table together for Christmas Eve, that will stay with the children throughout their lives, and they'll remember Christmas as a wonderful time because of their mom's attitude.
Even if they have a grumpy sibling in the corner.
Mame, I agree with that a lot. I think that moms make a huge, huge difference in how the emotions play out at Christmas. I also really appreciate when I got married that we sat down and talked about our favorite traditions and which we would keep. And that was a chance for us to talk about why we like specific traditions, what was important about that to us. And then we could choose the things that we wanted. One tradition that we have carried on from my husband's house, and he did not grow up with traditions quite like we did, but one that is my kids' favorite is how we wake up on Christmas morning. We light candles. We set them out on Christmas Eve, just like we lay out all the stockings. And my husband and I wake up in the morning and light all the candles, and we carry them into our kids' room singing soft Christmas carols. And as the kids wake up, they're often usually already awake. They're just waiting for that moment because it's Christmas morning. But they know to stay in bed until we come carol to them. And then they join us. We hand them a candle and we go to the next bedroom. And by the time we've gone to all the bedrooms, everybody has a candle. And we can file out to where our nativity is in the living room. And it's so fun to watch our kids because we will stand around the nativity. The tree is lighted. All the gifts from Santa are there, but they'll stand around the nativity trying so hard to focus and sing carols with us. And it's a special moment. And then we leave those candles lit. After we've sung three or four songs, we set them by the baby Jesus and leave them lit while we turn around and kind of refocus on stocking. And it's such a magical, the lights are low. It's a magical time. We have candles and it's a beautiful way to come together, honor the Savior, and then come together to the day, to the opening of the presents and the joy that the day is going to bring.
That's so beautiful, Ray. I don't think I've ever heard that before. I think we're maybe trying some of that this year. Heidi, did you have another comment?
No, I was just saying thanks, Mame, because I needed to hear that the mom says the attitude. Because sometimes I just say at the end of the day, okay, everyone's go to bed. I can do this 5 times as fast, and I'm going to do it while everyone's in bed.
I also think there's a time and place for that, Hides. I was just thinking that it's good and important to remember that it's the simplicity also matters, and you don't have to do every tradition you hear about. It's good to choose a few traditions, but not so many. I remember that we combined traditions when we got married, and the first few years tried to do all of them, and we're just so exhausted by the time we put kids to bed on Christmas Eve. In fact, one Christmas Eve, the kids fell asleep in the car on the way home because we were out so late doing all these fun things that we wanted to establish as traditions, and that can take away from the wonder and the magic of Christmas. So keep it simple. If you can choose 3 or 4 fun traditions that you're consistent with every year, then your kids will remember that and will grow up with a magical Christmas. You don't have to do everything.
I
remember Mama too would say, oh, sorry, Ned.
No, go ahead.
At the beginning of December, she'd always say, she'd go around the table and say, it wouldn't be Christmas this year if what? And all of us would say what was important to us. And those were the things we did because there's only so much time. And sometimes you spend time doing things that really aren't important to the kids. So I like that she did that we all got to choose something that we knew was going to happen that made it Christmas to us.
And it's so fun how it evolves. I remember the same overwhelming feeling when we had a lot of little kids. And now we have teenagers and we can do more. And it's kind of liberating in some ways to say, oh, we can add that in if we want to. I just want to try something. We've talked about so many wonderful practices or principles. What if we just, you know, a few words or less, say one of the practices you could do during the holidays just to keep minds going that we were raised with or that we do ourselves? Just so we kind of have a little list out there that we can draw from. One thing I remember is our dad always rocked us next to the Christmas tree on Christmas Eve night and sang us a song.
One thing I think most of us try to do is have a nice Christmas Eve dinner, multiple courses. And towards the end, right before I moved out of the home, we started dressing up for that Christmas Eve dinner because it brings a different feeling and spirit to the dinner. I haven't done that in my home yet because we're so busy on Christmas Eve. I don't have an extra 2 hours to get everyone in a dress. But I like the idea. And I did like having that Christmas Eve dinner. And then you just have leftovers on Christmas. So you're not spending Christmas making food. You just get to play and there's food already made in the fridge.
We've enjoyed taking a family drive to go see the lights around us all together and just talk about how beautiful they are and what families do in their yards.
One of our favorites is that we give an annual Hammer family the annual Hammer Family Christianity Award, and we think about everybody that we know and everybody that's influenced our lives that year and choose one recipient of our annual Christianity Award for someone that is Christ-like in how they live their lives. And then we make a special certificate and we take it over to them, usually with a tray of cinnamon rolls or something that we've made, and sing a song for them and just let them know how much they have meant to our family and what a good example they've been to us. It's just fun to talk about as a family who's influenced our lives and why, and then honor them in some way. But another one that I'll share is that on Christmas Eve, all of our kids like to sleep in the same room, slumber party style, and they take games into the room. And then in the wee hours of Christmas morning, whenever they start to wake up, they play games together until, as parents, we wake up and come in and read the Christmas story with them.
One tradition we like. Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, Mame, I love your Christianity Award. And I remember Mama and Pa instilling this ability to look outside of ourselves, because I remember going, even as little kids, and singing to older couples in the ward. They would have a list and we would go around and sing. And it was a no-cost activity that we could do as a service. And I appreciate that in our growing up years.
The same thing we said, you can make magic without money. Giving service doesn't take money. That goes along with the tradition I was going to mention, which is to have a cookie baking day, all the traditional cookies with the recipes we love. And we let our kids each choose one friend to come bake with us. And one time my mom told me the reason she went to all that work is because it was easier to do something like that with your child than necessarily, you know, take a child to an amusement park or the movie or something. This is something she could do without money to give us memories. So we love our annual Christmas baking day.
One practice that we've never done, but I would love to do sometime, is to go serve at a soup kitchen or help at a food pantry, either on Christmas Day or around Christmas Day. And another one that we like to do is, like Lorraine mentioned, singing for the elderly, going to a rest home and singing. One Christmas, we found a rest home that would let us come in Christmas morning. And we went in Christmas morning. It was a Sunday, I think. We stayed in our Christmas pajamas even. And we all went over to the rest home and helped Santa, who came that morning, hand out presents to all of the elderly people. And then we sang songs with them. And it was so magical. It was one of our favorite memories.
That is beautiful, Mame. I remember I was an oldest. But I remember as Mama and Pa had older kids that they did that with some of them, and I always admired that and tried to learn from them. And then I have to tell you that I also was an oldest, and bake day was so exhausting even as a child that when I got married I could not do it. I had loved it, I knew it was important, but I just could not bring myself to do it because I knew I couldn't handle that. And finally, when our oldest was probably 12 or 13, I thought, I need to have somebody help me. I want to do this, but I just can't. So I looked around, and in the ward we found there's a young newly married lady in our ward, and I invited her to come help, and it turned out to be so much fun that we, like you said, you have the kids invite friends over, which was wonderful. I invite adult help over. I try to find somebody who has probably the time and doesn't have a lot of family, because I need help with my baking day. Now my kids are older and it's a little easier, but when they were little, I needed that. So,
That reminds me of one thing Mama often said, and she said, saving money or not spending money usually means more physical effort, and that's true. Instead of buying cookies, making them, that's physical effort. So that's fun, Lorraine. But one tip for baking day, if you're going to try it, I always do all the cookie doughs a day or two before. Do all the cookie doughs a day or two before, so when people come, you're just rolling and cutting and decorating and not dealing with all the mixing and that part.
We just have 5 baking days. We do a different cookie each day.
Oh, that's great.
I don't think I'm brave enough to try them all on the same day.
Any more quick traditions before we move on to our closing?
Does anyone have their kids sleep under the tree on Christmas night?
Oh, the night of Christmas Day. Yes.
Yeah. I've always wanted to try that, but we haven't. But maybe my kids are old enough this year that we can pull it together.
And also having a gift to the Savior. That goes along with reaching out to the community, but deciding as a family the first week of December, what is our gift to the Savior going to be this month? And it doesn't involve any money, of course. It involves acts of service. One act of service that you decide on as a family or something you can do together.
I also want to bring up what Lorraine just posted today about her daughter, Hannah. Took the light, the world. Ray, I don't even know where you found it, but maybe you could tell us. It has different ideas for how to light the world, and she decided to do them all in 5 days.
Yes, she's so inspiring. So it's lighttheworld.org, I believe, and they have a PDF of 50 ideas that you can just print out one sheet. And the missionaries came and gave each of us a copy, and she said she would do it in 5 days, and she has just been gung-ho. And so I like, a gift to the Savior is important, and that's one way we can do it. We also have done the straw in the manger, where we have and we do that every year. Have a little pile of straw and a manger, and when anytime someone does a good deed, they put a straw in the manger, and that's always fun. And then the race is to fill it before Christmas Eve, because then we have a little baby Santa that goes in Christmas Eve, and we want the bed to be soft.
I love it. And we also have the tradition where you sing on Christmas morning, Larry, but on Christmas Eve, we go somewhere where we can set up our nativity outside, and we stand around and sing with the candles. So recently it's been at the beach because we're on this beautiful island, but just to be there in nature with candles, looking at the nativity and singing for a while softly as a family has been beautiful.
We did that a couple years ago. Our little town of Bethlehem that was gifted to me by Uncle Dave. We set it up at a nice and beautiful place outside, and I put candles, the little fake lead candles around that you just turn on and off. So when it was time to go out, we gathered around the piano to sing hymns, and I asked James if he would go out and light the candles so that we could come out. So I was occupying people around the piano singing while he got it all ready. He didn't come in for like 20 minutes. I couldn't figure out what was going on. Finally, he came in and it was all ready, and we went out and had a wonderful time. But it wasn't until after he told me he hadn't realized they were lead candles with the little switch, and he had taken out matches and kept trying to light those candles, and they wouldn't light. And all of these little candles had black tops on the
top. Oh, how funny. That's so funny.
Oh, man, that's good. One thing we did as a family a couple of years over the COVID years, when we had fewer opportunities to reach out, was to do on Christmas Eve a family concert. And so the kids spent December practicing piano or violin or cello or clarinet pieces, and we all listened to each other do Christmas pieces, and there were different levels of expertise. But then afterwards, we just sang carols to the piano, and that was really fun. That was some good memories. And we tried during December several times to gather around the piano, especially on the Advent Sundays, and sing some carols together.
That reminds me that Becca put in her idea. Should I share that?
Yes, let's share what Becca wrote, since she can't be with us today.
Yeah, she said, "One fun tradition that we've created in our family comes from a German tradition of celebrating Advent every Sunday in December. As a family, we gather every Sunday evening around the dining room table and read Christmas stories and poems, sing Christmas songs, and enjoy a special Christmas dessert together. It's such a magical time, with the candle burning on the table, our best crystal dishes, and soft Christmas music in the background. It has become one of our most favorite traditions and something each of us looks forward to every Christmas time."
That's wonderful. Go ahead, Mamie. Did you have more? Okay. Did someone else have something, Heidi or Larray?
Becca's just reminded me that we also celebrate Nicholas Tog, because that's part of our heritage. And I think what a fun idea to look back and see where your family comes from and involve some heritage traditions from a different country or something that can be meaningful to your family.
Heidi?
No, but we do Advent as well, and it is a fun thing to look forward to. We forgot on Sunday, and our kids reminded us that we were a week behind.
That's a sign that your kids are growing up when they remind you what you're forgetting.
We need it.
I just want to end with this idea of magic at the holidays. Mamie mentioned the mother is the heart of the home, and I agree. And I also feel like the father can add so much when he's willing also. When any adult shows that they value something, that's when children start to value it. And we were also really blessed in our home with a dad who loves surprises and loved the magic of Christmas. And he was the one who would stay up till midnight on Christmas Day, listening to Christmas music until the midnight of Christmas Day when Christmas was officially over. But also, I think this idea of magic, our parents taught us that during the holidays, you could have magic if you had faith. And sometimes the world works together miraculously, and that can happen when you have faith and you combine it with your works. I know several times as parents with a lot of children, they wanted things to work out a certain way for us on Christmas morning, and they didn't always have the finances, but they always had the faith, and they would use what resources they had and follow their inspiration and their ideas. And they would always say magic happens on Christmas, and somehow on Christmas morning the magic was there. And it didn't have anything to do with the quantity of what we got. It was the quality. At one point, they said this year everyone's getting, you know, one really nice gift. And they didn't know exactly how those nice gifts would work out for every child. But following your promptings, listening through the month, thinking of a certain child, and maybe that child needs this gift, or that child could benefit by this one really special big thing. And then following what you're guided to do so that it will work out. You know, I remember a Christmas in our home where we woke up and there was a box of chickens for a little boy that needed chickens. That was so magical. And another morning when a daughter woke up and there was an organ there and she needed an organ to play on. So I think really the magic of Christmas goes back to the faith that things can work out if we're willing to believe in it and have an idea and follow through. Then the Lord's going to make up the difference, and Christmas can be a magical, special time.
Amen.
Thank you, Nettie. And I would just add that it is about the Savior. It's His birth. And if we rely on our revelation and make our focus on worshiping Him, and the sacred magic moments will happen.
Yes. Any other parting thoughts before we all get back to the busyness and beauty of this season?
I just really like that idea about, because kids ask for things, and remembering it, we didn't always get what we asked for, but it's interesting that a parent's work is long before Christmas when they're thinking about each child, and that it is a magical, inspirational thing that you can think of what, because this is the time they're going to get some, you know, like something big. They don't always get big things, but it's their one chance, and it might not be what they think they want or think they need, but that's a fun thought.
I remember Mama often taught us that half of an effort for anything is thinking about it. And so when I've had some quiet time this week, as I've been driving back and forth to work, I've been thinking of my children individually. What does that child need? And I showed up at one store and there it was, and I was so happy. And another thing came to me today and I reached out to someone, and sure enough, that's going to work for that child. It's so fun. It's so exciting. We get the fun of it. Believing is fun, and being the hands is also so wonderful and fun. Okay, thanks everybody for joining our Sister Share today, and we hope you have a wonderful Merry Christmas and happy holiday season. And lots of love and joy and happiness with your family.
Thanks for tuning into Sister Share. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and we'll see you again next week.